Welcome back to the Content That Grows podcast. Excited to be sitting back down with co-founder Kevin King and also marketing manager for 10 Speed, Derek Flint. So today, you know, we're going to continue along this process. And so far, we've kind of talked about ICP development, identifying topics, creating quality content, a number of those topics along the way. And so, you know, one of the big areas that we think about, but also I think it's just important in general for content marketing and for you as you're thinking about your company goals is, you know, CTAs and sort of how that fits into all of your content, you know, how to approach it, how to do it best. So I'm going to cover a lot of that today. So, you know, in this, you know, we're kind of thinking about like you're consistently driving traffic to a number of blog posts. So you're not just starting out. It's not a situation where there's zero traffic, but you have traffic coming to your posts from organic, from social media. And you want to start to be more thoughtful about like what the CTAs are and not just like a stock CTA on the footer of every blog post. So we're going to dive into that today and just kind of figure out how to best engage your readers and also get the best results possible. So starting out, I think it'd be helpful just to kind of talk through, you know, for SaaS companies, you know, the most common conversion types that we find in content that are kind of both realistic and effective.
Yeah, I think there's just generally been five key conversion types that you'll typically see a SaaS business employing on their website. So I'd say that the first one that's most commonly seen is the trial, free trial, right? Sign up for a free trial, whether that be 14 days, a month, who knows. I feel like that seems to be the most like classic lead type that does typically work pretty well for a SaaS product that's trying to grow quickly. Obviously there's nuances to that, right? Like a trial can, it needs to have certain support internally for you to have that like conversion type on the website, right? Like the product must be able to support it and, your ICP must be good for that type of like experience, right? And, but I'd say that's definitely the number one most common conversion point or type for a SaaS business. And then typically from there you see a lot of demo requests, right? Demo requests is like the alternative to a trial lead. And those usually seem to be like focused more upmarket. I think that's historically what it was, like more of an enterprise kind of like buyer or buyer journey would be like requesting a demo just based on who's like evaluating a product. But I think we're seeing that more and more across even just products that even target more of an SMB or mid-market audience or ICP. And it's interesting because I think that just emphasizes that like you have to try these things out and like one could work over the other. Like even if you have a good product that has a good trial opportunity, a demo could ultimately be a more valuable lead or conversion type. But typically those are really, really valuable internally at companies because like that's just at the end of the day a conversation that you get to possibly have with someone directly about the product. And then I also would say, this is one that's, I think rising up the charts, is templates. So like basically, anything SaaS businesses or software businesses are usually trying to displace some sort of like spreadsheet or manual process, right? Like they always are to some extent. There's always a talk track internally around it, right? Like where you're like, oh, get out of those spreadsheets and into this platform, right? If you can build the manual like templates that people can, that really tie closely back to the product, even if it's more just like day-to-day helpful, that's still a good start. It's more further up the funnel, but those are becoming so, so valuable. And almost every software company to some extent can like help provide someone their ICP or their day-to-day jobs to be done, a template for getting their job done quicker, better, more efficient. Right. And you'll see a lot of those too. Sometimes like later on, we'll be able to be like imported into the product, right? Via CSV. Yeah. Like here's this template. God, all that would makes it way more effective. And then the other two, I would say, which you've seen historically, which are pretty traditional, a newsletter sign up. And I'd rank this over the last one. specifically just because more and more companies are getting better at creating great content. So like a newsletter sign up is something that's really, really valuable in terms of like making sure people come back to the website. And again, if you have good content, they're going to sign up and you can have a really, really good distribution cadence to the audience and make sure that they're nurtured effectively. And then generally just gated content. We like to call it like maybe contextualized, but like anything that ties really back to the topic at hand, right? Like if you don't feel like there's a real clear call to action to do any of the things that I just said, then there's usually some sort of added value piece that you could put behind a piece of content. And I know that that's more controversial because a lot of companies are maybe going towards like ungating content or most content being ungated, but it's a situational thing, and that does tend to still work at capturing an email, putting them into nurture, and being able to like hit them with some piece of content that might work at some point. But I'd say that those are the five like key conversion types that you'd see work most consistently at a SaaS business.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think the your points on the templates are super interesting, because it does feel weird to be like, well, we just spent all this time building a SaaS product so people don't have to use them. But it is very effective at taking someone where they're at currently, which is thinking that they just need a template in for Excel or whatever to be able to do this, and then realizing, oh, there's actually a much, much better way to do it. So very, very interesting workflow, and not something you can just force into any situation, but when it's applicable, it seems to be highly effective.
Yeah, definitely. There's just so many possibilities too. Like, I mean, you can get really creative about like the types of templates out there, but I know all of us in our day-to-day can still tend to, I'd probably search for a template even once a week for something that I might be building, just from a, you know, whether it be a framework or a document, any kind of thing that like might be something that'll help me speed up the delivery of my final thing. So I think that there's a lot of creativity that can go into those things and provide.
I would kind of put like tools, tools and templates into kind of that same bucket of, you know, same thing. Like they might be looking for a tool or a calculator or something to kind of help them with that, and then they can do that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think tools and templates are one of my favorites, but I think one of the most effective ones is definitely the newsletter email subscription, I think specifically for blog content. You know, a fair amount of your content is going to be up funnel or middle of funnel coming off of your blog, and it's just a great way to kind of get a hold of them. We've seen plenty of SaaS companies where just being able to email consistently generates those, you know, figures that you like to see, because you can keep feeding them relevant information. So that's one of my low-key favorites is email and newsletters.
I think the newsletters, it's making a bigger comeback. I think for a time it went down in its importance and an impact, but I think it's making a big comeback. We've seen even with clients we work with using newsletters in really, really great impactful ways. So I think I agree with you. It's a good reliable lead type for a SaaS business to employ.
For sure.
So I'd say that like from we're talking about the most consistent lead types when building a blog or designing a website from scratch. What are typically the things that you'd want to include to make sure that you are actually going to generate conversions from the very beginning?
So when I find it surprising yet fairly common that we do end up working with, you know, SaaS companies who have maybe like one part of their blog layout that's meant to convert in any one direction. But if I were going to start out and we're working with a company who's lacking any way for someone to convert, kind of the simple list that we usually like to start with is, one, have a sales-based CTA up in your navigation header. It should already be there for just like marketing best practices. You'll see it on any website you're on, whether you're on Sprout or HubSpot or whatever. This is just serving as like your navigation anyways is sort of a branding tool. So people recognize like I'm on a blog, but I'm with a company. And then also it's sort of an unintrusive way to get people into the like very bottom funnel conversion that you want them to do without blasting them with it throughout the rest of the content. And then as we're scrolling down, I kind of think of these as a trifecta, but I want a big H1, something like this is where the promise lives, right? This is what's going to keep a reader on the page, and they're not going to convert if they don't stick around. So I want a big H1 partnered with an author and date published. That date published, again, if you jump on and you think that it's too old, you're going to jump off. Even if the content hasn't changed much in 10 or 12 years, you just don't want to be on a piece that's 10 or 12 years old because the world has changed a lot in 10 or 12 years. And then I think the author is vital because we all know it, but like B2B or D2C, we become fans of people. So like give your readers the opportunity to become a fan of your authors. Let them know that a real person wrote it. It can be your CEO, your CMO, a salesperson, whoever you want to author these pieces. Yep. But the author is crucial. It also just like adds to all of these SEO elements in terms of internal linking and showcasing other things that they've written when they do gain that influence. So those are kind of the big three up on the top. And then usually we talk to clients about working with a developer, right? Like go ahead and work with a developer to create you 2 to 3 custom scripts for kind of CTA boxes. I kind of think of these as like your quote boxes that a lot of us see on blog posts. But it's something to cue the reader in visually. So I like these to be a box. I want them to be outlined or colored in. You can use your, you know, 3rd or 4th brand color to kind of help that pop off and stick off the page. The kind of 2 things that I like to request is one that's text-based, so I can quickly grab, copy and paste that script so that the box appears, and then I can add my recommended reading, I can send someone to a product if it's appropriate at the time, or that template download that Kevin mentioned. The other one I like is a mixture, so it's text and copy-based with a visual element. I think this is highly useful if you are going to do that downloadable asset. So give them a visual cue to see what it is they're gonna download, what it's called, mixed with the text copy. So I'm gonna ask for 2 of those things so that I can put them anywhere at any point in the blog post. Just as kind of like a side note, I think one of the least utilized, and I know Kevin, we've talked about this with clients, is like one of the least utilized CTAs when you're formatting is more of a above the fold or top of the blog post CTA to grab a hold of people who maybe don't want to read the entirety of the thing because your solution is actually that downloadable template. And then I think this is on most blogs. This is the one that you see most often without any prompting. I do think it's highly valuable, is a related article section at the bottom. So we've worked it in inline, but I do want a piece where when we get to the bottom of that blog post, it allows us to naturally push them in a direction, which is what's your next question? What's the next information that you need? I want that to be customizable so that it is truly relevant content sitting at the end. We're not just letting some algorithm whimsically throw it out there. And it's not. More often or not, you see like it's the latest blog posts that are sitting there. That's fine, but that's not what I want. I want us to be able to customize that. And then I would say utilizing the right side or the left side of space on a blog with a sticky email sign up. So that could be your newsletter. It could be just an email prompt whenever something new goes live. But we want a way to capture. And I think that's one of the most effective ways to do that, as it just kind of hangs out there. Visually, you're cued into that button color. But that would be my minimally viable, like, here's my request for a layout as we get started.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of good stuff there. And it's certainly, there's a lot to it. But I think that you hit on what the core ones are. You know, like, I think it's, it sounds like a lot, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But it really isn't. It's like the core functionality there, I think, just makes sense. You know, like the top nav CTA totally makes sense. H1, the author, all that stuff, and then you really, it's a lot of like the formatting of the post, and then you have sort of the related content and sticky newsletter sign up. So yeah, super interesting. And I think there's a lot, you know, that's always kind of like an evolving topic, and in as you're scaling your program, because like early on it's just you, couple posts a month, that's pretty easy to manage. When you get to a bigger program, publishing 15, 20, 30 posts a month, there's a lot to deal with there. You have a lot of, you know, how you're managing, you know, adding the related posts, for example, becomes more complex, or things like that. You have consistency with how you're implementing those, the scripts you talked about, and kind of having the formats, and you start to have to add process and documentation, you know, don't use it more than twice and all that stuff. And so I think, you know, there's a lot there, and a lot of ways you can take it, and a lot of ways you can sort of mold that and evolve, you know, as your program grows and scales.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was thinking about the CTAs, like on the page, I know we run into a number of clients, and you guys have worked in-house at SaaS companies, which is like, okay, so you've got your CTAs, but like, how do you ensure that your CTAs are set up to be most effective?
Yeah, I mean, that's really can be also just an ongoing journey. So again, you know, I think it's important to make the point that like, there's no point in putting much time or effort into your CTAs on posts that are not getting traffic yet. So that's step one, is like, the assumption here on this topic is that we are talking about posts that have traffic. And I think, you know, there's a couple things. One is like the format. Like you have, you can have text links, you can have sort of the inline type of stuff that you mentioned. Like there's the sort of the code script that you can utilize to kind of have it pre-designed box or whatever. There's fully designed CTAs, so maybe a much bigger banner or sidebar, and then there's like pop-ups would be another one. And so, yeah, I think there's the format of it, there's the position they are in their buyer journey. So, you know, really just analyzing the topic and understanding, okay, if someone is reading this, where, like, why is this interesting to them? Where are they in the process? And also what's most helpful to them next? You know, what would be the next thing I would want someone to do? And then there's a third factor, which is A/B testing. So when you do have options that are the most, have enough traffic to actually be able to have like statistical significance, and you can run A/B tests, that can be typically the most effective, because you're actually able to run A/B tests and say, here's the CTA format, and, you know, offer or whatever that actually is the most effective. So there's sort of levels to it, but I would say even if you're not able to do the A/B testing, just looking at the content, instead of saying, again, like I mentioned before, like you're not just gonna have this blanket sign up for your free trial today across every single post, but thinking critically and saying, well, what's happening in this post? Where are they at? What do they need next? And, you know, what flows best? Okay, do I have a bunch of product images, and now all of a sudden another big banner is going to feel kind of like lost in the images? Or, you know, is it based on the copy? I could really have a solid text link CTA right here. Just really thinking through all of that, I think, is what it takes. And that's what, again, doing that at scale, especially when you're publishing more, is where it really becomes a lot more challenging, because you're having to find ways to do that at scale and continue to be thoughtful and not just pumping out a bunch of templated stuff. So I think that's really the biggest thing. But I will also say, like, sometimes you just don't overcomplicate it, because some of the best results I've seen have come from, again, understanding where they're at in the buyer journey, but then just flat out putting a, you know, interested in trying X, sign up for free trial today, right at the beginning of the post, before you even get any of the content. Just this pretty simple text link, and it can work wonders. So I think that's, you know, sometimes you don't need to overcomplicate it, but yeah, there's a, I think varying levels to how you can approach that and make sure that your CTAs are the most effective and also just sort of contextualized to where someone's at, where they're reading and what works best for them.
Yeah, I think that that's one of the key things to really like reinforce is that it's going to be different for every business and every website. Like all these things are really great to implement. You just have to test. That's why the A/B testing stuff is really great to do. You never know exactly how someone is going to interact with a piece of content until you get it out there and start collecting data. So just try and iterate over and over again, because just because it worked on that website doesn't necessarily mean it'll work on this one or it'll work in a different way. So every buyer journey is different.
Yeah, I'd say if the contextualization balanced with scale is where I'd see a lot of people really differentiate themselves. So you've set up these systems to create a lot of content and to systematize how you, you know, launch your CTAs. But when it comes time to like actually publish those CTAs in the final bit, if someone on your team, whoever uploads that and finishes the marketing, can just contextualize those pieces a little bit so that it's really geared towards that actual piece that you posted. Yeah. I do think that's the difference maker for most SaaS companies.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, so what ultimately though do you do if you find yourself implementing all these, if you finally implemented all of these CTAs in a variety of ways, contextual or not, you're getting a lot of traffic, but you aren't actually getting a lot of conversions. What do you do when that time comes?
I mean, I think it's, so one, I think it's important to utilize Google Analytics or whatever your analytics platform is to understand where that's happening. So not just like I'm unhappy overall with my conversion rate for traffic to the blog, but specifically looking and seeing top 10, top 20 posts, whatever it might be, which ones have no conversions at all or very little. And that doesn't, you know, there's two pieces to that. One is that it doesn't mean that every post should be driving direct leads that are going to become direct revenue. That's not what we're saying. But as we were talking before, and Kevin has mentioned sort of the different types of conversions you can have, there are opportunities to have some type of conversion. So looking at the data and kind of understanding what's happening, it's probably best to start with some of the most highly trafficked but low converting posts, because that's where you have the most opportunity if you can figure it out. And so, as we mentioned before, it's sort of analyzing the context. So it's you then take those and just go one by one and say, here's where we're getting traffic but we're not getting conversions, and just ask the question, why is that not happening? Maybe you can figure it out and you just make a small tweak, see what happens. As I said before, if you have enough traffic and you can do A/B testing, then that's positive. But you know, some of the other options would be to like utilize Hotjar or some sort of heat mapping tool to look and just see what's happening on this page. Where are the common clicks? What are the how far are they getting on the page? Is there something really critical further down the page or just like majority of people aren't getting to? Any insights like that that you can kind of figure out some steps to take to fix it or to drive more conversions. And then the other would just be taking that individual post and in an analytics tool, looking at previous pages and next pages and even exit rates and things like that, just to sort of take all of that into consideration and say, okay, well, it looks like a lot of them are actually coming from this page versus like a direct entrance from search or something. And that now I know a little bit more about the context of why they're on this page or where they're going next, what might be missing or exit or whatever. It's just more data points to help you understand like what's going on and what you might be able to do. So it's not just like, oh, well, we tried promoting the trial, now let's throw this latest guide on here. You know, that's not the answer. It's really digging in and being very, very critical and understanding all of those data points that I just mentioned and how you can think about what you might implement next to try to drive more.
Yeah, it's really, once you start getting into like the individual page level like that and starting to like play around with conversion and trying to test things out at that like kind of like almost, again, page level, it can be so impactful. That's where we've seen some of the biggest success across like optimizing existing content, not just for the content, but like actually optimizing conversion points and understanding, not just throwing a guide on there, but really trying to be intentional about mindful of like what the actual buyer journey is leading to in that moment. But you can do that at page by page or content by content based on like traffic, and you're going to see really, really compounding results if you keep focused on trying to tweak it in the right way.
And it's a very interesting point there, because it's when you can find those opportunities that have a lot of traffic, but you haven't quite cracked it. It's really like there's a lot there that there should be some urgency to figure that out. And again, I wouldn't even say that every single post is always going to drive even like newsletter signups. It just might not. So it's not that there's always a solution, and once you crack it, you have tons of conversions coming in. But I think there's, when you really think about it, if say it's, you know, whatever, 250 visits a month to this particular post. For some people, that may sound really high. Others, that may sound tiny. But that's every single month there's that many people coming, and you're kind of missing out on that until you crack that. And you add that, that's just one post, and you start adding them together, and you realize that you're, you know, potentially out there chasing incremental conversions with things that are much higher effort when you have a lot of opportunities sitting right there in your lap. To be able to figure that out. So I would say that's something worth looking into. And the thing that I didn't mention is the inverse of that as well. So you may have posts that don't get a lot of traffic but are very high converting. And sometimes that's more stuff we've talked about, bottom of funnel, higher intent, and that sort of is what it is. But even just knowing that, you may include something like that more in a newsletter or continue to promote that more on social or whatever, because it is resonating and it is higher converting. And so the flip side can also be figuring out how to get more traffic to posts that do convert well too.
I was actually just gonna say what you just said, so
yeah, cool.
That works out well.
Sorry to cut you off and steal your thunder there. Cool.
You're good.
So yeah, I mean, I think overall there's a lot within this topic that is, you know, I don't know that there's like a lot more that we discuss around that, but it's obvious, like there's a lot of like critical pieces, and that is what it is. Like there's conversion types, there's different ways you would structure the post, there's the steps you could kind of take to make sure that it's effective CTAs. But once you kind of know that and know the elements and know the process, it's really just a matter of prioritizing it in your work, making sure people understand why, having a good process for doing it often, you know, in a regular cadence, whether that's monthly or weekly or whatever your team can sort of support. You know, and from here, I think it's just like, it's just a matter of building it in and doing it consistently to be able to see the results. Cool.
Yep.
Well,
definitely.
You know, I think with that, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Please feel free to check out the prior episodes in season 2 if you haven't yet. I think it adds a lot of context to getting to where we are now. You know, for what's next, you know, for the next episode, we'll really kind of be diving in a little bit more about publishing on a regular cadence. And also routinely optimizing existing content. So a couple of things that we're both very passionate about. So visit 10speed.io/podcast to check out those prior episodes. You can sign up to receive new episodes for free as well. You know, Apple, Spotify, anything, please subscribe, like the podcast to get future episodes as well. So thanks guys for the quick and insightful conversation around CTAs and all things conversions, and we'll do it again soon.